Welcome to an edition of Super League Talk, a podcast from loverugbyleague.com. My name is Dave Parkinson. I'm alongside Adrian Jackson, and we're talking Super League.
We're not, are we? You sure about that?
Well, we do try.
All the talk is about the action on the field in this podcast, so we're going to be talking about round 7 that's just happened. We'll look ahead to round 8 as well. Let's give the results from the last round, which is round 7. Bradford Bulls 12, St. Tony's 8, Catalan Dragons 20, Hawkinson Rovers 12, Huntsville Giants 42, Casper Tigers 4, Hull FC 58, Widnes 10, Stoffer City Reds 16, Leeds Rhinos 56, Warrington Wolves 32, Wakefield Twins Wildcats 30, Wigan Warriors 42, the London Broncos 30. And first of all, David, two scorelines that stand out for me is two balanced performances from the Broncos and the Wildcats.
Yeah, so they put the trend of large away defeats, didn't they? And I think both of them are to be credited with the way that they performed as well, particularly Wakefield. I thought they were extremely unlucky against the Warrington Wolves, and it did take until the 67th minute for Warrington to even take the advantage of them, didn't they? When Joel Monaghan went over with one of the strangest finishes to a try I think I have ever seen. I think he almost backward roly polied over the line, didn't he?
He backward roly polied, man. Is that new dessert?
He could be, couldn't he? But he took the ball. He was sort of a bobbling ball in front of him. He seemed to take it as it was bobbling about and somehow got the ball down when he was on his back. Now, as I say, one of the strangest finishes I've ever seen.
Now, didn't Steve Robbins say what a great finish, what a great balance and technique to control the ball in the first place and reach over and score a try in an unusual position? But I don't know about Warrington's performance yesterday. It was a bit hit and miss, wasn't it? Like a pick and mix, and a pick of bad stuff or a pick of good stuff.
If you did that for French, he was talking about pick and mixes in one of his interviews with Tony Smith. Talking of interviews, before we go any further with regards to that particular game, we have got some interviews coming up. Richard Agar, the Wakefield coach, will be giving his reaction. Rob Powell of London Broncos will also be giving his reaction. We've got great Kevin Sinfield talking about breaking the all-time Leeds point scoring record. And Brett Hodgson talks about the Exiles. Back on the results, however, and yeah, Wakefield I thought were really unlucky. I thought there was a big effort there from Danny Washbrook, and the big impressive thing from their performance in particular was that they had four pivot players who all did a tremendous amount of work, and Warrington just couldn't seem to guess where the next attack was going from. You've got Tim Smith on one side, you've got Kyle Wood buzzing around the field, you've got Isaac John, who was also putting in a good stint, and Paul Aiton as well, who had a tremendous performance.
The performance wasn't there, I suppose it's one of them ones for Wakefield. It's a glorious defeat.
But would you take a scratchy victory over a pretty defeat any day?
For Warrington Wolves, you're going to take the 2 points. Okay, didn't play the usual style of rugby league that we're used to seeing them play, but they have to roll the sleeves up and really dig in and show a bit of character to get the results in their favour.
One player that certainly did roll his sleeves up was Ben Westwood, and he had a fantastic game. He was just involved in everything.
But quite comically, I think the sponsors just pulled the name out of the hat to give it Lee Braves, but it should have been with Ben Westwood by a mile.
It should have been, yeah. Myler also scoring a couple of tries as far as Warrington were concerned, but I felt that he sort of dipped in and out of the game, to be honest with you. And Ryan Atkins, well, again, I thought that he didn't really trouble defences as tough as he has been doing over the last few weeks.
He got a try, didn't he? But waiting for him really close and down every time he had the ball, didn't really give him much space at all. He didn't have his best game, but a personal milestone for him is breaking that barrier of 2,500 points for your career total.
What a magnificent time that is as well. Just shows it was a weekend of point scoring, wasn't it, really, to be honest. And, well, you mentioned the other game, Wigan against Broncos, and certainly at one stage of that, the Broncos led 18 points to 6, and Wigan were just thinking, was it happening all over again? I mean, they got defeated by Widnes last week. They conceded far too many points at the moment, though, Wigan. Sean Wayne definitely can't be happy with the way they're tackling.
Not at all. I mean, to concede 30 against the Broncos, 37 against Widnes tells that there's a problem in defence, and I'm sure before they take Warrington on in round 8, the total backs will be out in total preparation for that one, but it's going to be an onslaught for Warrington, isn't it? But for Wigan Warriors, maybe it wasn't their best performance of the season, but it is a victory.
Finch scoring a couple of tries there. Gareth Hawk, Goulding, Carmont, and Richards scoring. Tompkins also getting his name on the scoreboard. Pat Richards kicking 7 goals from 7, but strangely ending just 1 point in a melee, but it was a glorious defeat.
Yeah, I'm sure both coaches will probably agree with that one. They'd be more than happy with the work rate for both teams. Unfortunately, it's still a defeat for both the Wildcats and the Broncos, but there is still, for them, something to work on, and there's a shining light at the end of the tunnel for both of them teams, I think, believe, for both coaches right now.
Well, Rob Power, the London Broncos head coach, your thoughts on that pulsating game?
Yeah, I thought that it was a real good game for a neutral, probably. We felt as though that 18-6, we should have controlled things a little bit better. We stopped moving as quickly defensively, lost a little bit of our contact, and started letting a few offloads go. And we knew, like, with a team like Wigan, that if you don't stay up-tempo and upbeat and carry on moving quick defensively, it's a difficult team to play against, and we just conceded too many points.
That's the defining moment. You're 30-24 down, call it 54 minutes, play the ball, Sam pushes your player away, in my eyes a penalty, referee didn't see it then. I think the next tackle, Brett Finch goes in and you're playing catch-up again.
Yeah, that it was a shame. I thought the same. I don't understand that. Why, in full view of everybody, you wouldn't give a penalty, but that said, that one didn't go our way, so it wasn't the reason why we conceded 42 points. It certainly
could have been a turning point, though, couldn't
that? Yeah, at that time it was a difficult call. There was another one building up to one of the tries in the first half where the ball wasn't played square. I think it was Sean O'Loughlin was getting tackled and he's got up and he's not played it square. So Mick McLaurin's beaten the markers by the fact that he's not facing downfield, he's facing the sideline. And they were disappointed about that one, the fellas, because they thought that, clearly you've got to play it facing upfield, you've got to play it facing the sticks. And so there was a couple of tries there, and the tap from Tom Kingsman Weir turned facing the wrong way,
yeah,
where he goes the length of the field. And those sort of things, there's two ways of looking at it. One is we can be downbeat and say, well, that's not fair, and, you know, or we can say, actually, we should deal with those things a little bit better, carry on moving a little bit quicker. And stay up tempo defensively, and then we'd stop the try anyway. And that's probably the mentality we've got to have, because we're going to be whinging and moaning all year and worrying about conceding tries, and we're probably going to look at how we'd stop them, not thinking, well, we hope the referee gives something.
You got 30 points, but like I say, when you get 30 points normally in a game, you'd expect to come away with the 2 points, wouldn't you?
And that's the bigger thing, you know, that's the bigger thing within all this. So, yeah, the valid thing is what you're saying before that, but if you score 30 points, you come away and score 30 points, then you want to win the game and should win the game. And we could have won the game had we defended stronger in certain times. Contact dropped off, too many offloads, and we let them become the players that they can be. And I think it was us that let them rather than they change and did something different. They've got some good players and we let them start playing. So that's a tip to us. We've got to keep the intensity up, otherwise we'll get punished.
You've got Widnes Vikings, you're on your travels again next weekend. I mean, I know you'll say every game is winnable, but there it's bottom end of the table where you are at the moment, Rob?
Yeah, we've got to look at that one, and we've got to, you know, go there with the right mentality. Wigan went there last week, and whether, you know, I'm not saying that they went with poor preparation or weren't ready to play, but Widnes showed what they can do. So we've got to make sure that we go there with the right attitude and we defend for long periods of the game as strong as we can, because we know we've got enough offensive players to go through and score a lot of points, as they did today. You know, not many teams score 30 past Wigan, especially at Wigan. So it's a big one for us for that, and we've just got to make sure we're better defensively.
Yeah, first of all, that was Rob Powell, and certainly he was speaking to our man Steve Manning there. Steve, again, has played a bit of a blinder for us in achieving that interview. And let's hear from Adrian talking to Richard Hager.
Which day, guys? Result win against you, but some positive signs there for the Wakefield Wildcats to build on.
Positive signs, yeah, probably a little bit more than that. I think, you know, today were a game of inches for us, really. You know, the kick falling just short of the crossbar, and we had a couple of chances late on to snatch the victory. You know, incredible performance from our guys. We felt that despite not getting the results, we feel our performances, the way we're training. You know, there's a lot of things starting to go our way, and you know, while we haven't got the wins on the board at the moment, our performances and our attitude suggest that, you know, those wins will come.
It will do, because at times during today's game you had Warrington on the back foot.
Yeah, certainly in the first half. You know, we spent a lot of time on their line in the first half. Second half were a bit of a different story. Warrington dominated possession and, you know, got a lot of tempo through the middle of the field on us that you know, we didn't handle really well, and you know, we had to chew up our interchange bench fairly rapidly in that second half. But you know, we found the energy to come back and managed to carve ourselves out with a real shot of tying the game and then perhaps winning it later after that.
Despite conceding 6 tries, some great defensive performances as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Warrington are a class side. I think, you know, the most disappointment is conceding tries that you sort of know it's coming down that channel and you prepare all week for it. But I think one of the great things about playing Warrington is that, you know, it's going to be an entertaining game. You know, they're not a side that focus on any of the sort of negative tactics in the game. It's always a free-flowing and an open and fast game, which is exactly what we saw today.
As you know, this is in front at half-time. Were the boys confident they could have got the job done?
Yeah, we were confident we could get the job done, yeah. And, you know, I think we almost did. You know, we come very close to getting it done.
You mentioned the missed conversion right at the end. It looked like it was in just dip below the bar. It shows you there's a fine divide between winning and losing.
Well, it were a fine line for us today, as I say, a game of inches. Everybody's been, you know, taking pot shots at our goal kicker. I think he kicked, you know, that were the only one he missed. And from the touchline into the wind, it's dropped inches short. He gave us a great shout.
Great team performance. Any individuals stand out for you today, though?
Difficult one for us, really. I thought, you know, Kyle Wood come off the bench and played in a bit of an unfamiliar position. Paul Ayton give his usual, you know, 80 minutes, and Timmy Smith carved some good opportunities out for us. Again, I thought Ben Kakane, his form at the minute's outstanding.
Didn't get the victory, but did you think you deserved the point at least?
I thought as endeavours might have brought us a point. I don't think anybody, certainly from the Warrington camp, would have argued if we'd have got anything out of that game.
Well, Kevin Sinfield, congratulations on now being the Leeds all-time record scorer.
Thank you very much. massive, massive honour. I'm obviously delighted. And more importantly, we had a great performance tonight and played really well. And to be able to do the record tonight in a game like that is a fantastic 2 points for us.
It was your fifth kick that gave you the record. Did anybody let you know that if you did kick it, you'd beat the record?
Yeah, the lads all knew, and our assistant conditioner was bringing the tea on for me, letting me know and counting it down. I just feel really fortunate that I've had an opportunity to break it, and it's done, and we can look forward to playing well, hopefully, again next week.
I know as an humble person, you say, like, obviously, without the team you couldn't do it, and obviously the success of the team, but it takes some doing, doesn't it?
I've played in some great sides, among some fantastic players, and I'm sure people will credit me for a lot of the points, but without any of those guys, I wouldn't have been able to do it, and really fortunate, not only have played with some fantastic players and some great teams, we've won trophies as well, and that's the big one for me, really. And whether I break records or I don't, as long as the guys are happy come the end of the year and they're satisfied with what they've done and how we've gone, and if there's some silverware to show, then it makes it all worthwhile.
And now you've got to go to St Helens next Sunday, and that should be an awesome game, a repeat of the grand final.
Yeah, well, they're always tough games at Saints, and once again we're going to a new stadium, so we've got a big turnaround now. We'll look forward to it. They've had a bit of a rough patch the last couple of weeks, Saints, but we all know how they play against Leeds, and they'll bar up and they'll cause us loads of problems. So we'll be ready for it. We'll have a good week's prep, and hopefully we can turn up and perform next week.
Kevin Sinfield there. Fantastic to break such a record. The fact that he's been able to achieve it with only being the number one recognised kicker at Leeds for the last 9 seasons just points to the fact of what a tremendous time he's had with Leeds.
He's had a few injuries as Kevin Sinfield as well, so it makes you wonder if he's a state player of injury what he's had over the years, he'd have a lot more points on board.
It also makes you wonder why the umpire gave him the kicking duties back in 2003 and why he was already knocking around the team for a good 4 years, but he's led his team magnificently. He's one of those players that kind of divides people's opinions, isn't he, Kevin Sinfield? Some will question why he's never won a Man of Steel. I just think Leeds Rhinos, they've got 17 Men of Steel at the moment. They're a fantastic side to watch.
Got power and pace at the back, young and enthusiastic lads who are willing to get on the end of the move. But when you've got the three of them in the middle of that, i.e. Burrow, Maguire and Sinfield organising the show for them, anything can happen. You're going to create a lot of chances, and that's why guys like Harder, Zach Harder, and Ryan Hall and Ben Jones, Bishop and Watkins are scoring plenty of tries.
You named the entire back line there, and the only one you could mention was Brent Webb, and I suppose when you're watching all those players, you've still got to look out for Brent Webb, haven't you, popping up somewhere and putting out a killer pass or two. I was just interested with how you talked about that trinity really of players, but great victory for Leeds Rhinos. So the city rates lasted about that, the better.
Yeah, I think they've had the taste of victories when they've been on that amazing run of 3 back-to-back games, so they've got the wins on board, and they've been given a reality check in the last 2 games, haven't they?
Another team that's having a bit of a reality check at the moment, Hull Kingston Rovers. They're doing it a bit tough because they got themselves into a lead against Bradford last week. They got themselves into a lead away at Castle and Dragons and just found themselves overhauled. Now, their coach, Craig Sandercock, has actually got a record and said it once again. He thinks there should be video referees at every Super League game. Is this something that you agree with?
Well, one thing I will say, yes, I do totally agree with him. Thomas Jefferson has said it in the past, and now, hasn't he? I totally agree with it. But unfortunately, unless someone comes up with the money to fund this and get the technology in place at all the grounds where Sky TV can't be there, it's never going to happen, is it?
Featherstone Rovers and Zach Harder crawl over again, isn't it? Money talks, and sadly there isn't that much money within the game to be able to put that in motion. What's going on for Kingston Rovers at the moment? They seem to be playing a bit of fits and starts and perhaps doing a good half and then letting it slip.
Well, it says it straight away, it's consistency, and that's what they're lacking.
2 games that we haven't mentioned yet. Bradford Bulls 12, St Helens 8. This was a real slog in the wet at Oddsall, wasn't it? Bradford Bulls, you've got to give them some immense credit. Certainly, putting in some gutsy performances at the moment for Mick Potter. When you consider that the 9 first team players down out of the first team squad, they're doing it tough and they're really repaying the faith that the coach is showing.
What's the back of that picture,
three games, consecutive victories for Bradford Bulls now and then. Unfortunately, that victory was one game too far for Roy Simmons, because sadly he's been asked to vacate the coaching dugout at Lantry Park. But at the same time, the team in transition, the team in turmoil by the sound of it. Bradford Bulls and the mid-potter seem to be the team on the up.
Yeah, Elliot Waiter at the moment is playing some fantastic stuff. And is it nice to see Cal Price coming back to his old stomping ground, starting to run in the tries again? It was a class finish when the kick went over the top and he just nicked him around the back, then need to pick it up. He's quite right, since they are going through the horrors at the moment. But I saw an interesting stat from this particular game involving St Albans. Now, they're missing James Robey at the moment because we're missing James Graham. They need to somehow find players who are going to really spread that workload around. I'm not doing it at the moment because I noticed that Lance Hyre, for example, who was filling in for James Robey at hooker, came up, get this agent, 59 tackles in the game. I'm sorry, but if he's doing 59 tackles, someone else isn't doing any work.
That's that says it all, doesn't it? That everyone else is not sharing the workload, and that's why the same time just struggling seem to get on top of them. Maybe one or two pundits around the world, the rugby league is saying that sense of overachieved in the last 2 years, and I think they're getting caught out.
Does it surprise you, however, that Roy Simmons has been asked to vacate the coaching role so soon in the season? We're only talking 7 games into the campaign, for goodness sake.
High expectations at St Helens, isn't it? It's the worst start to the season in 23 years for them. So a lot of pressure, and the fans' power has paid off, and they've got the wishes. They're going to have a new coach in place.
There's high expectations at Leeds, though, and they didn't get rid of Brian McDermott. And look at what he was able to do. He turned them round the last 6 weeks of the season. Surely it's not how you start the season, it's how you finish it. I know I'm picking another oblique cliche there, but that's just the way I feel. I feel he's been made a scapegoat and it shouldn't happen.
Well, I know that Manus has come out on record and said not the start of the season they were hoping for, and they had to make this change sooner rather than later.
Not surprised, so with some right cuff in the press release as well, but I'm not going to say any more about that before I get myself into trouble.
I think I will say Mick Potter, even though he won't have enjoyed Roy Simmons losing his job off the back of that victory, he really enjoyed the fact that he got his first victory this season at the Allsville against his former club.
Yeah, sometimes irony just comes with smacking in the face, really, doesn't it? But the other game that we haven't mentioned, do we give this one much airtime, I suppose? If you're a Widnes fan, you'd say not. Hull 58, Widnes 10. What a great day to be Danny Tickle, though. 4 tries, 9 goals.
Yeah, you're a Hull fan, you're going to talk about this one for the rest of the season, aren't you? What a great performance for Hull FC. 28-0 up at half time. Damage done in the first half, yet again. Last weekend, in one of the games, Widnes making life hard for themselves in that second half. Didn't get any better for them at all, did it? And unfortunately, it was a reality check after the highs of beating Wigan in round 6. But for Hull FC, great performance. Danny Tickle's been a regular performer for Hull FC. He's scored plenty of points throughout his time there. And unfortunately for Widnes, Hull FC proved to be too good and too strong for them on the over the 80 minutes. And unfortunately for Widnes, it's a nightmare trip to Hull yet again.
They've only scored 10 points in only 2 visits, haven't they? They got beat 36-0 at Hull Kingston Rovers the other week. And they're just going to be sick of the sight of Clive Sullivan Way, aren't they?
It looks like they're going to get sick of the sight of going away from the Holton Stadium, but they're really struggling on the road, aren't they? They've conceded over 150 points on the road in the 3 games played so far, and they've only scored 16.
I'm impressed with your maths tonight, I tell you. You are quickly getting my rugby league stat to attack. I'm passing it on. The crown is yours, Adrian.
I don't want it.
Are you sure? So that leads us nicely onto what's coming up this weekend, and the fixture planners, they've been really good, haven't they, to us rugby league fans this coming weekend. We've only got the small matter of Wigan versus Warrington on Friday night, and coming up on Sunday, well, there's the small encounter between St Helens and Leeds Rhinos. You couldn't ask for much bigger clashes than that, could you?
2 cracking games for round 8, all games as well coming up for Bradford versus Salford, Casper Tigers versus Hull FC, Hull Kingston Rovers versus Huddersfield Giants, Wakefield versus Cathlon Dragons, Widnes Vikings versus the London Broncos. But the 2 games that stand out are obviously the ones that you mentioned.
So we'll bring you all the results from those next week. But before we go, Brett Hodgson was named as skipper of the Exile side. Adrian caught up with him, and this is what he had to say.
Brett Hodgson, in the absence of no Four Nations this season, next season, 2-game exile game with England Andy Exiles, you're being then the captain. Is that a proud moment for you?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely up there with one of the proudest moments of me individually. You know, it's had a great time last year when I was in that camp, and it goes a step further this year. I think last year was more an experimental process and see how it was taken by the fans, which, you know, obviously the way the game was played, everyone really got behind it and backed it. So the fact that it's a two-game series now and I've been named skipper, mate, I'm just really, really proud.
Now you are the captain. Does that mean you get a say on who comes into the team?
I'll doubt it, to be honest. I think they've, you know, Glenn Morrison, Robbie Paul and Robbie Hunter-Paul, sorry, and you know, McRae, and then with Daniel Anderson, obviously, some pretty good footy heads there. So, you know, I dare say that they all name the side, and, you know, it's just, I love the fact that I'm already part of it.
You mentioned the fact you enjoyed that one-off game last year. It is a two-game event, so does that give the Exiles something to aim for as well now?
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, it's good because there will be a revenge factor with that second game as well, which adds a little bit of spice to it. The one that's a standalone weekend, I think, is great too because the public can get behind it and get out there and, you know, go to the game and support it and not miss their club footy. So, yeah, a lot of positives with the way it's progressed this year.
It's a good workout for England, but also for the Exiles, it's a point to prove.
Yeah, I think so. It's you know, I think ultimately it is to benefit the English international game. So, you know, if we can play a small part in that, then I think everyone who's over here playing at the moment is willing to put their hand up and, you know, help the game improve as a whole. So, you know, come those two individual weeks, I'm sure that will be the last thing on our mind. But the ultimate goal is to improve the English football, and if we can do that, that'd be great.
And for the guys who are in the Exiles as well, who've not represented their country, it's a proud moment for them guys as well.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, really proud for everyone who was involved last year, and I think you saw that in the way we played and put our hand up and had a very physical game last year, and you know, thankfully we got the point. So, you know, I don't expect anything different other than a real physical contest again this year.
Now, Daniel Anderson's going to be the coach, so you're looking forward to working with him?
Yeah, I worked with him back at Parramatta days. He was assistant coach under Brian Smith along with Tony at the time. So, you know, he's a very good coach, Daniel. He's very thorough and smart, and, you know, I'm sure he'll do a great job.
Now, what happens now, because it is only going to be in June and July when the games are played, so is there plenty of preparation to be done ahead of that now?
You know, I dare say everyone's worrying about club football up until that week leading into it, and it's important that you play good at club level, otherwise you probably won't get picked anyway. So, you know, I'm sure that's the first thing on everyone's mind, making sure that they play well for their individual clubs.
It's going to be a great occasion. Hopefully you might be the winning captain.
Well, yeah, that's the ultimate aim, isn't it? It'd be great to firstly lead the boys out, and then, you know, whatever comes on top of that will be added bonus.
You're currently out injured. When can we expect you back in action for the Warrington?
Yeah, very close to this week. So I'll definitely be going against Wigan.
Brett Hodgson, a fantastic example of just what some players do give to Super League. Interestingly, reading the Rugby League press this week, despite whether Warrington want to keep him for another season, he's saying that he's stopping in Super League.
There'd be a clutch of clubs who'll go after him as well, because he is a real classy fullback. And talking about the Exiles as well, I think it's a great concept. I'm excited about the fact that it is going to be two games rather than one. And also as well, we see the return of Daniel Anderson.
I wonder whether one two back to the last of Daniel Anderson. That is the big question, isn't it, with Royce Timmons getting a big heave up at centre-halves this week. But that remains to be seen. As you mentioned there, Jim, I'm quite excited by the concept of it as well. I thought it was a good solid start last year, despite the boos and catcalls against Sam Tompkins at the time. But I do think that as a concept, it does have to grow and it does have a place in the Rugby League calendar over here.
Well, unfortunately, because England are not playing New Zealand or Austria, it gives England the opportunity to play it against overseas players who might play a different style to what we're used to playing in Super League.
I hope, for the sake of the international series, though, and the international game, that it is a real close contest. Because I don't know, at times last year I got a feeling that the intensity kind of dropped off a little bit. I know it was very close throughout that game, but I just got the feeling that neither side at times was fully on the ball, and you need to be if you're playing against New Zealand or Australia.
I think it'd be different this time around because we're playing on a blank weekend, so players who were involved in the Exiles last year don't need to worry about having to back it up for the